This is a follow-on from the text of yesterday. It's this very fierce debate. Jesus calls them liars. They pick up stones to kill him. This is the confrontation between good and evil. This is the confrontation between those who believe and those who refuse to believe. Jesus is telling them, I am eternal. Now, what an invitation and what a challenge. This man standing there saying, before Abraham was, I am. And everybody knows what he's saying. This is the self-identification that God gave to Moses. I am. Now, in a way, our Lord is giving them a chance that he didn't give a lot of people, because he revealed himself very indirectly, leading people gently. He's giving them a chance to make a real step, and they don't take it. In fact, they want to kill him. The important thing to bear in mind is you see that this is why they killed him, because he claimed to be the co-eternal Son of God. Now, put that together with the, if I were God, and somebody started to pick up stones to throw at me, I wouldn't hide myself. I'd blot them out. And there you start to see the mystery of God himself and the love that he has for us. These readings, which are from chapter 8 of John's Gospel, you see, are meant to open up our hearts and our minds and to be impressed on our own spirit with the reality and the majesty of Jesus Christ. We often say that the grace of baptism in the Spirit is a revelation made by the Spirit of God to our spirit, giving us sure faith experiential knowledge of the reality and majesty of Jesus Christ, his headship of the church, his eternal union with the Father. Now that may all not happen the moment of baptism, but what does happen, baptism in the Spirit, that experience which can or cannot come, being prayed over, most of the leaders of the renewal here in this country were not prayed over by anybody. They were just prayed over by God. But it's this question of, can we enter more deeply into this challenge of who Jesus really is? He has to do that for us. There's nothing he would rather do than show himself to us. Let us see who he really is and be caught up into a love for him. And we're loving God. This is also meant to strengthen our faith in two ways. One is, when we look at the cross, that's still the living and eternal Son of God. Now, isn't that such a challenge? We're used to saying the words. We're used to having the images in our imagination or even the concepts in our mind. But the truth of this, See, this is what fascinated, I'm thinking of like John of the Cross. You know? He hungered and thirsted only to be in union with Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Now, we all have to get ready for that. And the advantage of letting the Lord have His way with us here is that it profits us, but it also profits the church and the world as we face the difficulties that are coming. Can we be leaders? Can we rest in the fact that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God? It's also to prepare us now for this meditation. Starting Sunday, we go into Holy Week. And we start, as you know, with the whole Passion narrative on Sunday. That Passion narrative is, for the eyes of faith, the most beautiful thing in the world. That's beauty. That is the love of God for us, brought down into the level of human pain in order to bring us out of darkness. Now, it's a mystery, isn't it? That people would oppose this. But they do. And to pray for mercy for ourselves and for everybody else. As our own hearts get purer, we can see the nature and depth of the opposition to God. And it's terrifying. The movement in the hearts of many today, including many leaders, is to assert themselves and declare, God is not. We are going to run this world. Now, the stupidity of that, you know, is manifest to anyone who's trying to please God. But the frightening thing is, it doesn't look stupid to the people who are doing this. It doesn't look stupid. So this gospel, you see, is meant to open up our minds. We have our regular workaday world. Here we go, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to eat, we got to sleep, we got to go shopping, we got to do whatever. And we do. But are we thinking of what's really going on? Are we praying for what's really going on? Do we take time to intercede for this illusion of power that has gripped so many people? We can declare who lives and who dies. In the womb, after the womb, we can declare. We just heard the other day in chapter 5, huh? The Father has given all judgment to the Son, not to you, not to me, to the Son. I think this Holy Week is a time for deep intercession. Deep intercession. There are many who are being swept along with this who are not so hard that they won't change. And we should pray for them. I'm thinking, you know, when St. Therese was a young girl, there was a murderer in jail who was going to be executed. And she started praying for him. And he boasted about the fact that he was not repentant. He had nothing to repent for or to. And he boasted, and she kept praying and praying. Every day she prayed. And then, the day after, that he was executed, in the paper, probably would never make the paper today, was a report that just before he was guillotined, he repented of all his sins. Now she kept up, you see. If God told you to build a church or a chapel, well, you can't stop until it's done, right? If God tells you to intercede for somebody, you can't stop until it's done. Oh, well, I gave it my best shot. The Lord will say, no, you didn't. You know, pray. So, as we look at the state of their heart and know that that could easily be us, we should intercede. This could be a difficult Holy Week spiritually, because the issues in this world, where will we be, this whole world, a year from now? Whether we will be is the other question. And are we interceding? Are we praying? Are we finding time to pray any way that the Lord leads us? Say the rosary. Just pray. Visit the Blessed Sacrament. And let our Lord Jesus work in your heart, and so that it's moving in sympathy with His, which is what that text in Romans is telling us. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit prays in us. And that prayer is the prayer of Jesus in us. So let's pray. Thank the Lord for His mercy. And open up our hearts to be generous with the Lord. Generous with our love. Generous with our concern.